Log Talk Radio.
You are inside Honey Soul Radio. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride as we add some honey to your flavor and sweeten your erotic senses. Honey Soul Radio, welcome.
sit round in the sunshine.
Grateful for you guys coming on the show and explaining to us. Thank you. The origins and the history of yoga. So I definitely want to get into that. But first, I want to discuss that I was informally introduced to Jill Menard by a mutual, friend who took one of her classes. Now, I need to tell a story. You know, I always have to tell a story here on Honey Soul Radio. This particular friend, we were together in a relationship in the past. We're not together like that anymore, but we're still, you know, cool. And I remember when we were together, I was like, honey, let's take a yoga class. He's like, what the hell? I was like, yeah, let's take a yoga class because it will open up our heart chakra. It'll, you know, open our energy. It'll make us more receptive to one another's sensitivities and emotions. And plus, we'll just, like, have the bomb-ass sex. And he was like, I'm not doing that shit. And then after he took Jill's class a couple of months ago, he called me, Jill, and said, you know what? I want to apologize to you for not taking yoga when you suggested it. Because, babe, I went to the yoga house in Houston, and I'm telling you, man, it was the bomb. I mean, I just felt alive, I'm just so sorry. So I need to let you know that you helped the brother out, Jill, okay? You helped him out.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you all end up taking a class together after that?
No, but he said he wants to. He suggested, he was like, I'll take one with you now. And I'm looking at him like, we're not together now, but okay. So it doesn't matter because we're still really good friends and I love him and anything that we share together is great.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. We have a lot of couples that come in. They enjoy practicing together, so... Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about you, Jill. Now, Jill is a Yoga Alliance registered yoga teacher. She's earned her rites of passage in Hatha Yoga from Lex Gillian of the Yoga Institute in Houston and in Kemetic Yoga from Master Yasir Rahotep in Jamaica. Her classes focus on poise, grace, vigor, dexterity, balance, calm, and total mind body and soul connection. She discovered yoga, or as she says, yoga found her. So now, after taking her first yoga class, she became totally involved in the art, the teaching, and the practice of yoga. So Jill, I want to talk a little bit about that. After your first yoga class?
Yes. Yeah, actually my first time experiencing yoga, I was a runner, and I tried one of the 45-minute little on-demand things on cable, and I realized that was such a challenge. I mean, I would run in the park and see every once in a while people practicing yoga, and I'm like laughing, like, what in the world is that doing? You know, they're moving so slow, and...
Yeah.
I tried the 5-minute, you know, you rent it on demand, the cable channel. And
yes.
I Down dog sweat bursting out of me. I was just, it was so challenging. So I basically mastered the 45-minute yoga workout on demand. And then I just, you know, it was okay. It was just more on the exercise, the physical part. But then I ended up...
Okay.
Trying practicing yoga in a studio, and then that's when I guess I would say that's when I was really introduced to yoga, because it was just something different. Just like the mind, body, soul connection, everything was kind of there in that one particular class. It wasn't just the physical, and so I knew that it was something special from that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I always coin this little thing filled with the secret, the journey continues. And I look at this whole practice of yoga as a journey, because you learn something new every day. You begin to learn your body. It's a self-awareness. It's a lot to it.
Okay. Now, Brother Jamal, you've been teaching yoga since 1998, correct?
Correct, yes.
And I see that you've traveled extensively for certifications in Hatha yoga, and that came out of India. And then you have Vinyasa from Malaysia. Astanga,
right.
Am I saying that right?
Ashtanga, yeah, but it's perfectly fine.
Okay, from Indonesia, okay. And in Kemetic from Jamaica. Now, you are, Jamal, incredible and a diverse yoga teacher. His concentration is on agility, strength, perseverance for a total mind, body, soul experience. He is one holistically gifted trainer. So, Jamal, Yeah, one holistically gifted trainer. You know, I had to pump that up. So, you want to tell us, how did you get started in yoga? What was that first interest for you?
Well, the first interest I had in yoga probably goes back to the age of 16. I come from a martial arts background, and we actually used yoga in our martial arts training. And my first introduction to yoga, as a matter of fact, I was living at home in Ghana, in West Africa. And in the northern portion of Ghana, where my family comes from, is the Bongo district. And I was first exposed to yoga quite literally in the bush, as a matter of fact. And it kind of piqued my interest because I knew even at that time that the positions also, you know, done and also said with certain chants and certain mantras had a very spiritual meaning. And, yeah, I decided to follow more or less my heart and continue to practice martial arts and kung fu until this very moment, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Okay, so yoga had became a part of your training in martial arts.
Right. Well, it was already a part of the training in martial arts. As actually, a large portion of martial arts is actually yoga training. And I simply, from martial arts, wanted to evolve back to a very essential and very basic form of spirituality, of physicality, and of, you could say, to a certain degree, mentality. And in discovering martial arts, you know, I discovered also a very ancient, very wonderful path in yoga, about rediscovering oneself and, of course, strengthening oneself from the trilogy of the mind, the body, and the soul, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Now, Jill, what is yoga? What is yoga?
Well, yoga is just that Jamal just said, it's the connection, it's the union of the mind, body, and soul.
Now, the reason I'm asking is because a lot of people like you, when you were running, are saying, you know, it's just a lot of stretching. What are they doing? You know, or like my old soulmate who said, I'm not doing that shit. You know, so people kind of want to get a breakdown on what exactly is yoga. You know, what is the practice?
I was about to say that if we say that yoga is a unity of the mind and the body and the soul, it's like she stopped for a second because when we begin to go into yoga, when we begin to discuss what is the mind, we begin to discuss what is the body, we begin to discuss what is the soul, or even we can even say what is the spirit. You know, in other words, we're speaking about energy. We're speaking about 3 to 4 to almost 7 different levels of energy, and when we're discussing the mind, the body, and the soul, it's a very, very in-depth process because each one of those parts of the trilogy, the mind, the body, and the soul, in their sovereignty, contain so much valuable information that we as Nubian people, I believe, you know, have the justified right of tapping into. And I believe that when we discuss the mind, the body, and the soul, we have to sort of, you know, dissect the mind, the body, and the soul, and at the same time keep them one. So, you know, that's why we kind of pause there for a second when you ask that question, because that question contains a lot of ancient wisdom and a lot of very current, you know, knowledge as well. And to comprise that in one sentence is very, 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 very difficult for, I suppose, for the two of us right now, because we're on that path of yoga and every day discovering that each small segment of the path leads out into incredibly great adventures. And, you know, in order to you know, maintain, you know, a good practice of yoga, it is really important that you take into consideration literally all three of those aspects, the mind, the body, and the soul, you know.
Okay. So, now, something I heard you say the path. You said that a few times, the path. So is yoga a journey?
Yogis use those terminologies. You know, we see, put it to you like this, when you get maybe a little bit more into the philosophy of practicing yoga, and get into the, for me, it's very even interesting to even say yoga, because, you know, the word yoga itself, you know, it's a Sanskrit word, number one. It's not a Nubian word, the African word.
Okay.
However, within yoga, there are terms that have their very roots in Kemet. You know, when we're discussing yoga, we're discussing literally the unification of two worlds, if you would like to kind of describe it in that fashion, or two realms of energy, you know, one being the matter, the other being the etheric. So, you know, when we're discussing what yoga is in that terminology alone, you know, you kind of have to, I suppose, be a bit more, how can I say it? I guess specific about what do you really want to, like, know about the mind, about the body, and about the soul, or about the spirit.
Okay, so what I hear you say, what I actually hear you saying is that the trinity of the mind, body, and spirit, that yoga helps you to tap in to that, that trinity, and with that, it helps you to awaken.
Absolutely. So in the awakening process, we like to use that, because when you're awakening, you know those people that don't want to get, like, woken up, you know, you wake them up, they might, like, get scared and scream or something like that, you know. You also have a person that's, like, in a somewhat half-waking state, you know, their eyes are open, you may nudge them, they may be, you know, they may not quite be awakened, and you have a completely awakening state where your eyes are completely open. And when your eyes are completely open and you begin to place your feet onto the floor after standing up out of your sleep, then, of course, you're going to begin to walk a path. And often in the practice of yoga, it's a very wonderful, very harmonious, sometimes very turbulent path, because that path is quite literally the, you can say, the refinement or maybe the readjustment of particular parts of your entire being, be it physical, be it mental, be it spiritual, you know, that you may think needs you know, alignment, or to some degree a bit of ascension or evolution.
Okay, Tracy.
Yes, go ahead, Jill.
Okay, just to add to that, like, when you think of yoga, and since the definition is so broad, you can think of it as in, like, I don't know, maybe there's seven schools of thought. Like, most people think, when they think of yoga, they think of the exercise first. But it's not only the exercise, it's also the food that you take in with your body automatically. Yeah, it changes. And your body requires certain nourishment. It's also like the sound, the meditation. The
Okay.
There's a discipline there. Once that discipline is instilled, there's a knowledge that is received that you'd like to spread and just inform everyone about. And then also, ultimately, there's a superconscious involved.
Very good. Okay. Now, with that, I heard something about the origins, and we talked about Kemetic yoga. You mentioned Kemetic yoga. Now, it is my understanding that in the origin of Kemetic yoga, due to its history and its discipline, it was primarily to awaken and nurture the pineal gland. Am I correct?
Yes, you are quite correct, but not only the pineal gland, but the pituitary gland as well. And the awakening, or the process of yoga, if we would put yoga now into a physical, energetic matter, and also etheric, energetic sense, there are certain mechanisms or certain energy sources inside of your body. And each one of your vital organs contains this energy. This energy is responsible for connecting and sometimes often recharging, disconnecting, realigning, and these energies are needed in order to keep your body functioning from, or I would say, free of disease or in a very efficient state. You You know, you have your liver, you have your kidney, you have your lungs, you know, you have your brain. And inside of you, these organs generate their own vibration, their own energy. Mm-hmm. And yoga is literally, on the physical sense, the activation of these energy centers. Some cultures may call them chakra. You know, some
right.
cultures may call it kundalini. You know, I'm saying some cultures, not, you know, referring to the Nubian culture. We have other terms for these faculties, for these mechanisms
the
inside.
Exactly. The chi.
So,
yeah.
The chi. Well, the chi, of course, coming out of the Asian room, but of course referring
mm-hmm.
to that, an all compressing energy. And in Kemetic language, we call it chu. So,
okay.
you know, these faculties and these faculties inside of your body, you know, yoga physically is the practice of activating, generating, regenerating, and very, very important, healing is a very, very important aspect of yoga. It's literally the alignment of that physical being. Now, of course, if we separate our soul or separate our spirit and separate our mental a bit away from yoga, but I would even include the mental, because yoga also literally, with the mind, puts the mind in a very calm state, puts the mind in a very clear state, and prolongs that clarity of the mind.
Okay.
So that comes from the breathing, which you refer to as the chi, which is the shu. It comes from the breathing. The breathing, which is the pranayama, the shu, it's also like the life force. We consider that the
right.
life force. This is what that calming state that you achieve through yoga. It's from the breath, and of course the positions, the alignment. But the breath allows the body to
activate
these faculties. Yes,
yeah, it's literally the breath that really stimulates and really activates the breath. First of all, the breath in itself is a science. Breath in itself, you can nourish the body, you can heal the body, you can regenerate the body with breath alone. Now we have, okay, that leads into another discussion. What type of breath are we practicing? And in this day and age, what type of breath are we breathing in these so-called cities in order to practice very, you know, clear and very clean yoga, more or less to say. But it is the breath that literally activates these faculties in the body. And literally, without the breath, you can throw the positions in yoga away. Any position that you are performing in yoga without the essential breath, you're simply doing gymnastics. You're simply doing contortionism, not yoga. Yoga is quite literally.
I recognize that with yoga, there's very controlled breathing.
Absolutely. And that controlled breathing is necessary for you to begin to feel and begin to understand what your body is doing when it's regenerating, when it's aligning, and you use that controlled breath not only to stimulate these chakra or these energy centers, but also to maintain that your body remains injury-free. Because lots of the twisting and the bending that occurs in yoga, if you were to perform that without the necessary breath, you could literally hurt yourself. And that's a very realistic part of yoga, that often it is practiced, unfortunately, with not the essential breath, and then, of course, injury occurs. However, if your breath is literally on the essential level it needs to be in order to perform a particular position or asana, whatever you would like to call it, and that breath will secure not only that you remain injury-free, but you also activate and stimulate those chakras or those energy centers of the body adequately, more or less. And, of course, the stimulation, the more you stimulate those energy centers, the more you begin to, you know, as we would say, let your kundalini rise. And that kundalini, of course, being all essential chi and all essential life force energy, quite literally that energy, that creation energy, or that energy that is used to even govern the energy or how that particular body moves through this so-called dimension, more or less to say.
Okay. Okay, great. You have anything you want to add to that, Jill?
No, just about
said it. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take a five-minute Honey Soul break, and when we come back, we are going to ask the question, what is tantric yoga. So we're going to get into the practice and principle of tantric yoga, how it balances female and male energy, its healing components, also a way to open your heart chakra, and the art of tantric yoga to expand sexual awareness, pleasure, and healing. So when we come back, we're definitely going to get into that. Now, for all of you listeners, we want to definitely thank you for calling, and for those of you who have logged in, we want to thank you for being here, because we definitely could not do this without you. But if you'd like to call in, if you have a question and comment for Honey Soul Radio, please call in at 323-784-3608, or you could visit us online in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/Honey Soul. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. Honey Soul Radio.
I'll come with Meyer, and I'll let y'all beat me up some more. So.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, because I came back from that experience. I just want to say this before I go. I came back from that experience, and I was like, damn, babe, that shit is righteous. That was you.
Yeah.
Were right.
He was excited. He had to apologize. He was like, I'm sorry that I never took you up on that offer. I just didn't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Dig it, man. But y'all be good.
Thank you.
All
right. Have a good evening.
Y'all too. All
right.
Okay. Yeah, so that was the friend. I'm so glad he called.
Okay,
that was him. See, I told you he said that, Jill. I told you. So that's great. That's great. When you can always inspire someone to have a newfound respect for the art of yoga and to build themselves up holistically in that area where they're tapping into the energies of mind, body, and soul, that is a beautiful, beautiful revelation.
Yeah, and you
that's
know, we
beautiful.
Receive a lot of our energy from people with the same story. Because sometimes, I mean, we're out preaching and teaching so much, and we're just wondering, you know, if a connection's being made. But when we hear someone respond in that matter, it just gives us more energy to go forward.
Good, good. Now, we're going to bring in our brother, Master Instructor Yasir Rahotep. Now, he's been training and also teaching for more than 3 decades. He's a diligent guidance master of yoga within the yoga skills method. He has positively transformed lives through the integrated optimization of the ancient Egyptian system of anatomy and physiology, the bioenergetic body, and the flow of internal energy. How you doing, Master Yasir?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
We are doing well. I have to give you a brief update on what we were speaking of. That brother that just called, that was someone who I was in relationship with in some previous years. And I had expressed to him how much I wanted to do yoga with him, and he laughed and clowned me. But he happened to take one of your student, Jill's classes, and has a newfound respect for it and had to call and apologize to.
Yeah, well, I know Jill, she can get anybody straight. If they got any questions about yoga after they go through one of her classes, they're going to be straight afterwards.
Well, good. You setting them straight, huh, Jill? Setting them straight.
You're getting them straight.
Now, That's it. Okay, bring the phone up some. We didn't hear that last part.
I said, hopefully their spine will be aligned.
I like that.
Getting them straight.
Yes, that's getting them straight. Yes. Okay, now, Master Yasir, how did you become interested in yoga, and how did that develop for you?
I became interested in yoga a long time ago, before yoga was really as popular as it is now. And the reason why I got into yoga was really, because you're talking about tantric yoga. It was really because of a woman who invited me to go to yoga class, and
okay.
I really didn't want to go to the class because I thought it was something, you know, kind of weird and strange and stuff. Maybe something like that brother who called earlier. And
yes.
But after I got into the class and I actually did it, I could feel the tremendous benefits of it, you know. And even though I couldn't really do a lot of the poses and stuff, like the only pose I could do was what we call the mummy pose, which is just like laying on the floor and breathing and relaxing. And
okay.
Not really, you know, doing any movement. And then I could do the headstand, but my body was still stiff. But I could see the potential that if I practiced it, that I could really make a transformation in my body and my health and my well-being. And so that sort of motivated me and prompted me to want to practice. And so the more I practiced, the more benefit I got from it, the more potential I can see for how it would help to preserve my body and reverse the aging process and, you know, keep me youthful, you know. So it was mostly from a health and wellness perspective. And also, you know, just from a spiritual perspective, you know, it helped me to just keep my mind clear, to keep me focused, to keep me, you know, really being in tune to the forces of the universe, so to speak, you know. And so, so I was able to, like, you know, use my intuitive faculties, you know, to really feel my way through, you know, through the world at a higher level. So they helped me to go beyond just intellectualizing, but to really, you know, be able to feel what's going on and to operate on a higher level, you know, so that I can, so that I'm able to perceive things around me and, you know, and just not, you know, use the mind or use the brain just to, you know, understand things on a material basis, you know. So another benefit is that it helped me to see that how everything is connected, you know. So I started to actually feel that I was connected to everything else that was in existence. So it wasn't just like understanding it as, you know, from a philosophical perspective, but I was actually able to feel and experience the idea that things are connected, that the whole universe is one, and that there's an underlying life force and energy that permeates everything, of which I'm a part of that fabric, you know. And so once you have that realization, then you're able to, you know, utilize that and apply it to your life, you know, and make it work for you.
Okay, that's great. And going into that, we discussed yoga in its origins and its history. However, now we're going to get into what is tantric yoga. So I want you to go ahead and give us a description of that, Master Yasir.
Well, the way people use the word tantric yoga is really misused from what it really means. You know, most of the time when people talk about tantric yoga in modern times, and especially in the United States and the West, they think of it as being sexual practices, you know, that are related to love making and so on and so forth. But in reality, what tantric yoga is, it deals with the idea that there is two aspects to a person. There's two aspects to the universe, and one of those aspects is masculine, and the other aspect is feminine. And so we have feminine energy and we have masculine energy. Feminine energy and masculine energy have something to do with male and female. It just has to do with opposites.
Okay.
And so in order to really become who you are meant to be on this planet and in this incarnation that you exist in, what you're supposed to do is to bring balance and harmony between those two opposite forces that make you up. And so there was a period of time in India when the original yoga, which was more tantric yoga, became overshadowed by this other form of yoga, which is based upon this concept of brahmacharya. Brahmacharya deals with the idea of celibacy, and that the only way through enlightenment is through celibacy, whereas the original people of India, the original people of Africa, they did not see that type of negativity towards what we would call sex, because sex deals with creation. And so the original yoga sought to bring that balance, to bring that harmony. Now, that balance and that harmony was not brought about because you was having sex with your mate. It was brought about because you was doing the internal practices, and those internal practices were ones that cultivated this internal energy and brought a balance and a harmony between them. So most of the practices that you do are done by yourself, okay? Now, when it, you know, because you have to do your meditation, you have to do your breathing, you have to do your movements and your posture. You know, those are things that you do by yourself. Now,
okay.
When it comes to the lovemaking part, that's sort of like the crowning aspect of it, okay? Because the original Godhead in India was Shiva and Shakti, a male and a female, Shiva being the male and Shakti being the female. And so when you see them in statues and in drawings, you see them in what's called the sacred embrace. It was Shiva sitting in lotus position and Shakti straddling him. And so that signifies that unity of those two energies.
Yes.
And so once a person develops self-discipline, self-control, and uses the internal practices to elevate their own internal energy, then they come together as one, and they start to apply that, you know, within their lovemaking, you know. And so that lovemaking is based upon the idea that the male is going to retain the internal life force. He's going to retain the seed that we call like ejaculation. And the female is going to go into orgasmic, is going to release her orgasm, you know, her orgasm, and that causes a balance, that causes a merging between those two opposite forces. And at the same time, the male develops the ability to have orgasm without having to ejaculate and to release that life force, okay? So the male wants to develop the ability to have internal orgasm, but at the same time, it's not releasing the seed, because, you know, most men, when they have an orgasm, they have ejaculation, and then all they're going to do next is fall asleep. And so they're going to usually do that within 3 to 5 minutes, right? So that's why most women are very unhappy, you know, walking around, in most parts of the Western world, you know.
Yes, because and they can't maintain their endurance during that act.
Right. But the thing about it is that is that in order for the male to achieve that ability, he has to do what we call yoga. He has to do the movements and the postures. And so, like, kinetic yoga, which is the style of yoga that we practice, me and Jamal and Jill, that we practice from ancient Kinet, that yoga is more ideally suited to the development of that internal control that you can then apply in your lovemaking, you know, because the intention of this style of yoga is to cultivate internal life force, is to give you the control over your life force through teaching you how to control your breath, because the breath is the life force. And so once you learn how to control breathing, you can then control and manipulate the movement and the motion and flow of that energy, you know, in your body, and then you can direct that energy. And so you can use that energy that you have gained control of, and you can send it into your mate, you know, and you can use it, you know, so you want to make your own self energized. Who wants to make love to somebody who has low energy? Who wants to make love to somebody who's going to rob you of your energy? So you want to have two energized people come together and then merge, and let that feminine energy balance the male, and let that masculine energy balance the female. And that's what the whole point is. So you don't want a weak, vitalized male coming in contact with an energized female, or vice versa. And that's why people need to be very careful about who they mess with.
I was just going to say, so you have to be very particular in who you choose, because you have to kind of be on the same vibratory level. You have to be on the same frequency.
Well, the thing about it is that...
not higher, you know, like similar.
Yeah, you have to, and this is something like, in India, you see a lot of, from the medieval times, with the Rajas and the Maharajas, where they have these orgies. You see these pictures of people having all kinds of different sexual positions and a whole bunch of different, like, sort of orgy type scenes. This is the corruption of what tantric yoga is really about. tantric yoga, you know, if you're talking about the sexual aspect of it, it's something mm-hmm. that you do with your mate, the person that you are in harmony with. You may be married to this person, or this person
okay.
is somebody who is your spiritual connected person, you know, not just, you know, somebody you meet at a bar or something, you know, and then y'all
I need to interject, and I'm going to say something. I'm very glad that you stated that it's between you and your mate or the person that you are connecting to on that love relationship level, because we're experiencing now people that are into tantra yoga, and they are actually using that as a way to manipulate people and basically have sex. And
right.
with that, they're doing more harm and more destruction than production in progress.
Right. Mm-hmm. Listen, a real tantrika, a real person who is a practitioner of tantric yoga, they probably practices for years before they've even are able to apply this in actual copulation with another person, okay? So it is not just something where you just learn how to do, you know, some different positions, you know, like wheelbarrow or something like that. People think that's tantric yoga because it's just different positions and stuff, you know.
I know the wheelbarrow. That's not tantric.
you know. And so even around, I hate to even use the word tantric yoga because people don't really even know what the word really is and where it really comes from. And it really has nothing to do with the act of sex. You know, people get Kama Sutra confused with tantric yoga, you know.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff, you know. And you know, and again, like what you're saying about people just, you know, using it as a get over, you know, like coming up to a sister, a brother coming to a sister talking about some tantric yoga and stuff, you know, and, you know, I mean, that's a land that, you know, that's something that a pimp can do. A pimp knows how to, you know, do certain things and make a woman have an orgasm, you know, but that's not really what the point is. You know, the point is that you're with a person who is your, who you have a love for. The whole foundation of yoga is about love. It's not about how many orgasms or how many ejaculations can you have, you know. So, but understanding the energy, the feminine energy is supposed to nourish the male. The males need that feminine energy in order to become balanced and in order to become whole. Women need the masculine energy in order to become balanced and in order to become whole. Okay? And
yes.
So when a man, when the male ejaculates, he basically is releasing his energy. He wants to learn the techniques that allows him to retain the ejaculatory fluid and reabsorb that into his energy body to create more energy, and then his orgasmic experience is not going to be one where there's a release of fluid, but it's going to be a raising of energy, you know, from the base of the spine up to the crown of the head. And
mm-hmm.
then he can also manipulate that energy and direct that energy through his body into the body of his mate. And he can make her have orgasm. Now, the woman herself, she wants to have, she should be having as many orgasms as possible. So the orgasm where she releases the fluid and all that kind of stuff, that's what the woman is supposed to do, but the man is supposed to be tainted. Now, women lose their sexual energy through menstruation. So when women have that menses, when they have that, you know, when they bleed, that bleeding is actually a release and a loss of that energy. So that would be the equivalent of the male having ejaculation.
Okay.
And so there, and so the internal practices that women are supposed to do are supposed to reduce the amount of bleeding that they have when they, when they have their menses.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and so that's supposed to reduce to like a trickle or barely anything. And so that's how the women, because every time she has that bleeding, that's a release of life force that she's losing. Not having orgasm. Having orgasm is actually building her sexual energy.
Okay.
That's why a woman really is supposed to get stronger as she has orgasm. You know.
Right.
But the male being opposite, he gets weak when he has ejaculation. But
okay, now what did you say, Jill? Jill, what did you say?
I said over and over and over again.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So that's it. We're going to get into that a little later about the sexual pleasure. So you're saying that women should be getting stronger, becoming more energetic, and men are actually helping her to balance herself as well as the female balance him through that sacred tantric sex, correct?
Yeah, and the man he should be getting, if he's not releasing his seed and he's actually working the energy, you know, the energy of his own energy properly, he should be getting stronger and stronger also. So then you have two people getting stronger and stronger and stronger, you know, as you go through the whole process, you know. And see, a lot of there are aspects of the actual sex which is not where you just, you know, banging and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's you know, there are periods when you're very slow, when you're still, where you are, you know, coordinating breathing together. You're doing a lot of different things, you know, which is based upon having self control, not just based upon having wild, you know, animalistic type of, you know, sex. Well, I don't know how, you know, I'm going to sort of laugh, you know, but I don't know how to say it, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
we understood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Brother Jamal, you have anything you want to say to that?
I don't know what I should say to that, but I absolutely agree with you. absolutely agree when it comes to how the man and how he aligns himself to the female. And absolutely, when the male is able to control that energy internally, it revitalizes, it reconnects him to, you know, forces, natural forces in the universe, which, like Master Hotep said, you know, helps ground a male for, you know, better governance of himself, as well as giving the female energy as well, you know. So 100% I agree. I'm just kind of laughing at what Jill was talking about. That's all.
Yeah, I loved it. She said it over and over and over. Now, Jill, I want to ask, how can tantric yoga be used to heal our feminine energy and also to heal our wombs?
Oh, wow. Well, give me a question one more time.
Okay, how can tantric yoga be used to heal our feminine energy as well as our wombs?
Well, I think that it gives us a self-confidence. Yeah. As far as, I don't want to say like a self-esteem thing, but more of like a self-confidence thing. I mean, it opens your heart. You feel totally whole. And as far as that's all I have to say about that.
You can't get shy on me now, Jill. Well, Master Yasir, how does it help to heal our wounds? How can that assist in healing the womb?
Okay, in terms of the actual physical womb,
yes,
it acts on different levels. Okay,
mm-hmm.
a woman's internal organ system or reproductive system, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is very sensitive to stress. Is very sensitive to traumatic experiences. Okay, so
okay.
Most of the various types of female issues, like fibroid tumors and things like that,
yeah,
they come about because of the fact of stress, you know, and because of trauma. Many women have been traumatized on a sexual level.
Mm-hmm.
In the black community, you know, we don't talk about it, but there's a level of incest. There's a level of abuse of women by somebody who they know, you know, somebody like a male who may be close to them, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Plus, but simply the internalized stress of living in a racist white supremacist society. Or even in a sexist society. America is a sexist society, plus it's a racist white supremacist society.
Yes.
So both of those factors influence the health of a woman's reproductive system, which you call the womb. And also the foods that we eat, or that, you know, women eat and people in general eat in response to the stress. Like a lot of the processed foods, a lot of the comfort foods, a lot of the foods which are, high in dairy products and stuff like that. And so when you start to practice tantric yoga, number one, you are doing particular practices, right, that are stretching, expanding, the internal organs that are, you know, especially, you know, in addition to the reproductive organ, which is increasing blood circulation there. You are opening up the energy center, the chakra, which is related to that area of your body, you know. So you're bringing balance to that chakra. You're bringing energy to the chakra. You're breaking up stagnated energy out of that area of your body because you're doing these internal practices. This is before you even get to the actual intercourse part, which everybody's always trying to get to real fast, you know.
Yeah.
So
they opt to the races.
Yeah. So if a woman needs this type of internal energy, this type of internal healing, it's best to not even be dealing with the sex part until you have did the internal practices on your own in order to to heal that area of your body. And so those internal practices, the breathing, the different movements and postures, they're gonna help the womb area from an energetic level and from a physiological level in terms of increasing blood supply, in terms of, increasing better nerve function and balancing the different hormones that affect that area of the body, you know, and also from a simple mechanical perspective of squeezing and massaging, you know, to help that area become better. And then once that area has become healed and balanced, then, you know, it's more appropriate to, you know, that, you know, I mean, number one, once you get your body and your energy balanced and harmonized, you're gonna attract and pull to you the person, the type of man, the type of male to you who you really need to have in your life. That person is not going to appear when everything is out of balance, when everything is in an unhealthy state.
Okay.
Because you're going to be pulling the same type of person who helped to put you in that state in the first place, okay? So once you become healed, which means, and the word healed means whole, your whole energetic signature is going to change. And so then you're going to be pulling to you, you know, that which you need, okay? And so the person who is your true mate, you know, so on and so forth, is gonna be coming towards you more. You know, you all are gonna make that connection because you're in a better state of being to make that connection. You know, so
okay.
You know, so the way that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it like, yeah, we're gonna do this tantric yoga and everybody's gonna have a whole bunch of orgasms. You know, it has to be that this is the foundation. The foundation of yoga is self-discipline, self-awareness, you know, being in balance, being in harmony, you know, having your energy balanced and so on and so forth. And then once you do that, then you're in a state where you can hook up with the person you need to be with, and then you build upon that, you know, with the internal sexual practices.
Okay, interesting. I'm glad you were able to clarify that because I know a lot of people, like you, we were discussing earlier, they look at tantric yoga as just simply a sexual act, you know, to have better sex, you know, or to have these type of orgies and things like that. So you're really giving us a definite clarification on that, and I want to thank you. Also, the healing aspect is so important because us as Africans here in America, we are suffering from trauma on so many levels. We have psychic trauma, emotional trauma, and it is, you know, it definitely, we have some physical trauma. It has definitely affected us on so many subconscious levels. You know, and this has passed through generations and generations and generations. And I'm always, you know, trying to find the healing aspect of how we can heal from these different traumas that are definitely keeping us in bondage individually, personally, in relationships, and as a people. So to give us the definition, the principles and practice, and the true principles and practice, also the history of yoga is definitely something that we can choose to experience to also help to heal us from those traumas as well as help to enlighten us. So
yeah,
I definitely
can I explain something for a second too?
Yes.
That whole area of your body, which is the reproductive system, whether it's in the male or the female, it's all in that lower part of the body. There is a connection between the male testes and the kidneys. There's a connection between the female ovaries and the kidneys. You know, we know that on our kidneys, we have a gland called the adrenal gland. The adrenal gland secretes adrenaline, epinephrine, norepinephrine, cortisol, which are all related to stress. So any type of stress, trauma, any type of negative emotion that we have, like anger, jealousy, anxiety, any of those type of things, all affect the reproductive system. The base chakra, the lower two chakras of the body,
yes,
are located,
yes,
and correspond to the sexual and reproductive organs.
The root chakra and the sacral chakra.
Yes, and so when those organs and when those chakras are out of balance, the corresponding organs, the corresponding nerve plexus, are all going to be the corresponding endocrine glands are all going to be negatively affected. And it all goes back to what is happening in the mind in response to what we are experiencing that becomes translated to stress and trauma within the body. And so it is essential that we practice these tantric, chemetic practices and principles in order to not to have better sex, but to be healthy, period. And then once you become healthy, you know, sex and everything else comes about the way it's supposed to be. But you do not want two unhealthy people, you know,
generating that energy. Yes.
Because all you're going to do is amplify the negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's essential that people get out of the mindset, I just need to have a whole bunch of orgasms and stuff. You can make yourself feel good by doing yoga by yourself. If you do the correct type of yoga, some yoga is really, really good and based upon what I call good, the proper practice, the high quality practices and techniques, and some yoga is just a whole bunch of fluff, you know, that's really ineffective. And so people need to know what the difference is. But you should make yourself feel good and balanced on a sexual level where you don't feel the need to have to go out and have, you know, sex and orgasms and be lonely and all that kind of stuff. When you start to practice yoga properly, you know, because when you develop your own energy, when you develop your own life force, and when you have that life force at a high and strong level and in a balanced level within you, you don't have desires like that. You're not lonely and you don't feel unfulfilled, which is going to make you go out and do things and be with people who you don't need to be with, you know, seeking orgasm because you're thinking that orgasm is what the key is. But the orgasm is internal. Every time I do yoga, every time I do the pose of immortality, peaceful warrior pose of men, I have internal orgasm.
Interesting. I'm not
ejaculating, but I'm having internal orgasm. I'm moving that energy up to the energy channel, up to the crown of my head. I'm moving the energy through my arms into my hands. I'm moving the energy down my legs into my feet. That is the same energy that you have when you have sex.
That happened to one of the students last week in class.
Say that again, Jill.
I said that happened to one of my students last week in class. She told them all right after class what happened.
And what happened?
Well, she pretty much told me that she did a particular posture. It was actually the pose of immortality, just like Master Hotep just described. And when she went into this particular position, she was able to achieve a certain breath state where she herself made herself excited by the position she was in. And it wasn't an excitement where she felt like she wanted to, you know, be sexually active. She explained it like it was a type of energy that was moving through her, the same type of energy that you possibly would feel when you're mating with someone, but an energy that she could clearly recognize, and she decided in position to regenerate and to heal herself, as opposed to taking that energy that she was feeling and, you know, quite possibly sharing it with someone else, maybe after the class or something like that. Very interesting that she told me that. Well, it's not the first time that we've heard that students and also practitioners in certain positions can literally stimulate themselves. But when we're talking about stimulation, it's not a sexual stimulation where you want to go and practice that with someone in that moment. However, it is a stimulation that is along the same lines of the sexual or that orgone energy where you can use it to revitalize and literally, you know, heal certain wounds of the body and of the soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely interested in talking a little bit more about that energy. Now, when we come back, we're going to take a 5-minute Honey Soul break. And when we come back, we're going to discuss how tantric yoga can be utilized to assist men's health and erectile dysfunction. And we're going to also discuss how tantric yoga can be utilized to open the heart chakra and expand our awareness. So for those of you who are listening and also logged in, we want to thank you for tuning in and for calling, because if it wasn't for you, of course, this would not be possible. So if you'd like to call in and get in on this sweet honey topic, please do 323-784-3608, or you could visit us online in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/honeysoul. 5 minutes right here, Honey Soul Radio.
Love.
Shield and soul from the pit of the bottom. Let no It happened, men happened to get erect from it.
Yeah, they was experimenting on it, and the man was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know about my blood pressure, but I got this really hard thing.
I got a hard on.
Yeah, you know. And so basically that stuff just increases blood circulation. Now, you got to look at the root cause of why do you not have good blood circulation going into your penis. Now, if a man smokes cigarettes, right?
Okay.
It's going to affect the health of the blood vessels. If you eat meat, if you eat not just meat, but you eat fatty animal products, you know a lot of animal fat is going to build up along the walls of the arteries. So things like dairy products, beef, chicken, any type of high, you know, anything that's fried. You know, in either animal fat or hydrogenated, you know, oils and stuff like that. You know, pastries and cakes and pies and stuff that's made with hydrogenated oils. All of that stuff is, stuff like margarine. All of that pizza, all of that is going to clog up the arteries. Now we just think about clogged arteries. We only think about the heart. But you got to also think about the brain. You have to also think about your whole vascular system throughout your entire body. You can have cholesterol building up in all the blood vessels throughout your entire body, you know. So you got clogged arteries through the penis because all of that fried chicken fat is building up along the walls of the arteries, you know. So, every time I come to
that,
Houston,
that Popeye in his churches, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That Popeye and
them
churches.
Yeah. Every time I go to Houston, we go to the yoga house, and I'm not going to say the name of the place. I don't even know the name of the place, but it's some chicken place, man. It'd be people land up all the way outside for like hours to get some fried chicken, you know. And men are thinking they're going to eat this fried chicken, and they're going to go home and, you know, get down or whatever. But all that fried chicken is doing is clogging up the arteries to their penis, not just to your heart, but to your penis, you know. And so that's one major problem. We eat so much high animal product, cholesterol, the bad, the LD, or the low-density lipoprotein. We eat so much of that bad type of animal protein and animal fat that is clogging up the arteries. The other issue is alcohol. You see these ads for alcohol, like what's that type of liquor, that fancy liquor, cognac, right? A lot of the cognac they sell, they usually have a brother in the ad. So you see this one ad where the brother is wearing a tuxedo.
And a distinguished brother. Distinguished brother. A GQ brother.
Yeah, he looks distinguished and all that stuff.
Yes.
And so he's holding this glass of Cavassier, wearing a tuxedo, and then in the background is a sister laying across the bed, you know, real slinky and stuff, right? But the alcohol itself, people think alcohol is something that stimulates and enhances sexual performance. It actually has an opposite effect. Alcohol is a depressant. So it's going to actually depress, and it's going to lower blood pressure, and it's going to really, when I say lower, I mean it makes it too low, you know. And so it actually depresses you, and it has a toxic, that's why they call it becoming intoxicated, you know. So it has a lot of different chemicals in it that are actually toxins that your body has to work overtime in order to process. So your liver is working. Every time you drink some alcohol, your liver is working very hard to get all of those different types of, toxins out of the body. So that's a factor right there. Plus, stress and anxiety is a factor. Now, when a male, when he gets past 21, 22, 23 years old, there is a significant drop in testosterone in the male body. So so you always hear men talking about when they get past 30, everything starts to go downhill. And that's really true for most men who like to eat fried chicken, smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, and, you know, just live, you know, just live off the standard American diet. Because I didn't experience that when I turned 30, and I turned 30 almost 30 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm still waiting for all this bad stuff to happen to me, you know, to keep saying it's going to happen to you.
Well, that's a blessing. So how does tantric yoga help a brother who's experiencing premature ejaculation or erectile dysfunction? How does that happen for him? How does that work?
Well, everything I was alluding to, first of all, is that you have to think about what you put into your body. You can't just
okay.
eat some yoga stuff and then
and
don't think
goes,
about
yeah.
what are you eating. And so there's different types of foods that you need to consume. You need to consume, you know, like people like myself and Brother Jamal, you know, we be making our protein smoothies and stuff in the morning. So we be putting right. sunflower seeds, and we be putting bee pollen, and we be putting maca root powder, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We be using spirulina.
Oh, y'all got a bunch of energy going on over there. Y'all
yeah,
y'all just an energy yeah. house. That's not the yoga house. That's the energy house.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's all right.
And then you gotta know, like, you know, there's certain supplements you need to take, like things that have salt pimento in it, which is going to help to keep the prostate gland healthy, you know. So
okay.
you have to look at, is my prostate gland healthy? You know, so men know that when they go to the doctor and get their checkup, that's where the doctor put his finger up the butt to try to feel that gland. And if that gland is swollen, then he can actually feel it because, you know, it's enlarged. And so so knowing what types of foods to eat and also knowing what type of supplements or herbs to take when you need to, you know, especially as you do get older, you're going to be losing testosterone and stuff like that. So you got to know what type of foods that you take in, not foods that are going to, you know, give you testosterone, but foods which are going to help your body to manufacture testosterone naturally.
Yeah, produce it.
You know.
Yes.
Because a lot of people they take like supplements that have a lot of testosterone in it, but you want to take supplements that actually help your body to just simply continue to create it. And so, like,
right.
you have an herb like tribulus, which is one, you take about 850 milligrams of tribulus, and it's going to help your body to manufacture its own testosterone and keep your levels at the right place, okay? So those are preliminary things that you do. Now, in terms of the yoga, number one, doing, you know, learning how to breathe properly, doing the deep breathing, you know, learning how to focus, learning how to concentrate, learning how to direct energy and keep energy in a certain area, you know, in the areas of your body where you want to keep the energy at, you know. You know, those things. You want to comment, Jamal?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like if you... You know, your question was, you know, how can your health improve through yoga or that particular area? And it's like, you know, like Master Hotep said, the first thing that a man wants to focus on is what state am I in right now when it comes to my nutrition, when it comes to my physical movement. You know, when you begin wanting to walk that path for better health, and if you notice that you may have, like, you know, particular issues in that area, and you decide that you want yoga to be your path for, you know, following your or finding your ultimate health, then I would absolutely say that, you know, go to a place as a man where you know that you can begin to explore what it really means to practice yoga, what it really means to have proper nutrition. You know, like Master Hotep, getting back to shortly to that comment about the American diet and what quite literally the average black man eats here when it comes to fried food. You know, a black man has to take that into consideration. What he's eating, what he's putting into his temple will ultimately decide what type of fuel he's getting out. So that nutrition, that energy that he's putting inside of him, if it doesn't have the necessary and and quite literally the potential that the energy should have that he's eating, then of course the result is going to be, you know, a deficiency in the body. And I think when a man really wants to change, that means really recognizes, we started the whole show off with people waking up and, you know, different people and how they wake up, but if that man is woken up and he wants to, you know, go towards a path of clear health and walking the path of yoga, walking the path of kemetic yoga, I would absolutely recommend, but it takes discipline, it takes dedication, and it takes also that wanting to heal oneself. That means literally taking the power in one's own hand and implementing it, you know.
I want to go ahead, Jill. You have something you want to add?
No, I didn't. I was just wondering, can those arteries be plugged? Like, you know, how to clean the arteries for the heart? Can they be cleaned for the penis?
Well, I mean, ultimately we're talking about the mastering of breath. And when she poses the question of if those arteries can be cleansed, yes, they absolutely can. You can literally use that breath in that cleansing process. See, using the positions of yoga, literally place your body into that particular position that, or that particular type of organ or that particular type of area that needs that stimuli. You apply the proper breath to it, and the result is better efficiency. It's actually really quite simple. And I would absolutely say that those areas of the body that, you know, you might, or a man might experience dysfunction, they can absolutely be regenerated. They can be absolutely revitalized, but it requires also that a man also partake in a particular type of lifestyle when it comes to taking care of the temple. One of them being, it may sound a bit trivial to a lot of people maybe listening, but one of them being going into sunlight for 2 hours in a day and quite literally absorbing that vitality. There's a reason why they're called sun salutations. There's a reason why practicing those positions in the sun and that revitalizing effect that natural, very natural source of vitamin D gives the man and also gives the woman, but speaking particularly about the man in this particular case, you know, practice those particular positions in the sun, let that revitalizing effect take place into the body. It also requires a man to also kind of open himself to also realize that he has the power to change literally his health to a better state. He really does not need anyone really at his side, you know, be it maybe a yoga teacher possibly to show someone those particular positions and breath, but when it comes literally taking the power in your own hands, yoga is something you can practice in the comfort of your own home. You can practice it in your car. You can practice it on the bus. You know what I mean? So it's like when you ask me, can those areas be regenerated, or if you ask, you know, what effect would kemetic yoga have on the male physical body, it's a complete healing potential that a man can have if he practices it in the correct fashion. And we always, when we say the correct fashion, we also refer to not only how that person is positioning their body, but the breath is the literal essential life force. If you stop the breath, you die. Masahotep actually asked Jill and I a few weeks ago, pointed out something a few weeks ago at one of his teacher certification classes, and one of them was, how long can you go without food? How long can you go without breath? Now, how long can you go without water? So, of course, you know, without food, you can go literally for several weeks. Of course, you go without water, you can go for several days. However, you go without breath, literally you exterminate almost immediately. So that life force that's generating throughout your body can absolutely be multiplied. And in its multiplication, you can literally place it in particular parts of your body consciously. This is a conscious energy force. This is a very real energy force, a force that you can acknowledge, a force that you can feel, and to some extent even a force that you can see. This life force does literally exist, and you can apply that life force to all healing aspects of your body. But like Master Hotep was saying, it takes literally in the beginning essential steps. One of them, the main steps being, what are you putting in your body as when it comes to defining nutrition? What are you eating? It's a very important path of a yogi to define literally what health is through proper nutrition. And, you know, Natsahotep was joking about, we do make our smoothies with spirulina, you know, absolutely, with completely vegetarian protein powders and things like that, because we know the effects that animal products take, not only on, you know, men, but on women as well, but not only on other cultures, but on the black male himself. You know, our melanin, you know, combining with these synthetic products and with these animal products, how our melanin comes into reaction with these particular things causes a lot of ailments in our body. And I think that we, as particularly as black men, need to be very aware that we have a source for information and more than adequate information about how to govern the body. And that information being extremely ancient, that information coming directly out of Kemet, particularly talking about the Kemetic diet and how we Nubians ate at one particular time, you know. Master Hotep was joking about the fried chicken, but he was laughing, and it's kind of funny because I chuckled along with it, but it's a very serious issue of this fried chicken. Why are we making, quite literally, our downfall, that means our history, in chattel slavery, which we were eating entrails, which we were making things that we could define to this day, you know, pig feet and chitlins and things like that as soul food. But, you know, that is quite literally, you know, that's why it's called entrails. It was given to us because it was literally the scraps that we just added a couple of spices to it to even make it edible, even if that wasn't the case. And, you know, through the process of time, you know, we as a people cultivated that because we were coming literally out of that culture. And why would we make now in this day and age with the information we have about governing ourselves as energetic beings, why would we still make that, you know, the nutrition of kings and queens? Very good point that Master Hotep points out. And I think that when black men assess, you know, the dysfunctions of the genitalia, of the male genitalia, that's one of the first aspects that a man has to sit down and ask, how am I feeding myself? And, of course, the next steps being, what is it going to take, like Master Hotep was explaining, to create testosterone? It's very, very important. It's not just putting testosterone in the body. That testosterone you're putting in the body from the supplements will eventually get burned up. It will eventually get used up, and you'll have to replenish it again. But the fact of the matter is you want to have a consistent nutrition where your body is able to produce the necessary hormones that your body will need to function at any particular age as efficient as possible. And you can absolutely get it from nutrition, absolutely. And I must say, as a yogi, I do not really advocate keeping meats or any dairy products a part of your body, because as you begin to practice yoga, your body will begin literally speaking to you about what it needs for energy, and you will literally instinctively begin to feel, no, I don't want to do no fried chicken today. I think I'm going to do a bowl of fruit. No, I don't want to do, you know what I'm saying, no chitlins.
Yeah.
Maybe I might want to go, maybe I'm... You know, maybe you might want to do no
you went all the way. You went all the way.
No McDonald's, no Burger King, whatever the case may be.
You went all the way to the chitlins.
it's a hallmark in black culture.
Yeah,
soul food.
It's a staple. It's a staple in soul food. Yes, it is. Now, I really want to get into, really quick, because we only have about 10 minutes before the show, and I want to get into the yoga house and what you guys do in the different classes and certifications. But I want really briefly, maybe take a couple of minutes to express how tantric yoga opens the heart chakra and expands awareness and pleasure. So we can get into that just for a few minutes so that we can go into exactly how they can find you in certifications and things like that. So how does tantric yoga help to open the heart chakra and expand awareness and pleasure?
Let me talk about that for a second, because I'm going to try to be brief as possible, but people... You know, but we need to understand the background about the heart chakra, number one. The heart center, you know, we think in Western world, we think of the brain as being the place where our consciousness is located. Mm. But in reality, consciousness is located in the heart. The ancient Egyptians they would, when they mummified a person, they would actually go inside, they would take some tweezers and go inside, go through the nostrils, they would pull the brains out, they would throw the brains away, but they would actually keep the heart in a very centralized place and you know, and actually mummify and preserve the heart. Now, the heart has an energy vibration to it, which operates on a higher vibrational frequency than the brain does. And so basically, when you have a thought, when you have an emotion, anything that happens to you that deals with your consciousness, it begins in the heart. And that information is then transmitted to the brain. So your brain actually receives information from the heart center, okay? And so the whole idea of yoga is to open up the heart. It is to, to help a person develop the capacity of becoming more compassionate. So that compassion has to begin when you are being compassionate to yourself. That means that you practice what they call nonviolence. Nonviolence doesn't mean that you just don't go around beating up people and killing people and stuff. Nonviolence means that you do not do acts which are going to, be harmful to other living creatures.
No harm.
Yeah.
No harm, correct?
Yeah, no harm. And so it goes back to, like, am I going to eat some fried chicken, or am I going to eat some pizza? Am I going to smoke cigarettes or, you know, smoke some crack or something, you know, because that's doing violence to my body. So that's the first step. You have to stop doing violence to your body, both in terms of your living habits and also in terms of the things that you think and the top type of thoughts that you have inside of your brain, inside of your mind.
Great. Now, I want to tell you that this actual show, I usually, when I do shows, I develop them a lot of times based on things that I'm experiencing that I think others may also be experiencing. And I just want to share with you that I have taken up yoga for the last 3 months. I took it about 10 years ago, and I remember the transformative energy in the metamorphosis that I experienced while doing it. And I remembered that, but of course I was in a place, in a state where I was able to do it, and what happened was I just kind of, you know, I transformed and started doing older behaviors and experiencing other things. But I'm glad to say that I have gotten back into yoga, and I've noticed a different type of awareness, and I've noticed a different rejuvenation of energy, as well as dealing with a lot of issues dealing with my heart. So I definitely want to thank you for coming, all of you for coming on the show, because it has been excellent as far as helping me, and I'm sure some of the other listeners, as far as understanding yoga in its entirety. Now, I want to ask you, what is Yoga House? How can we get there, and what's going on?
Well, Yoga House is in Houston, Texas, 4001 Alameda, right at the corner of Alameda and Cleburne. We have morning classes, evening classes. The website, actually, we check out all the classes, is yogahousehouston.com.
I put that in the chat room as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, yogahousehouston.com. There's morning and evening classes. We also offer hot days, in which all of the classes are hot on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that's, when I say hot, I speak of a temperature of 113. The other days, regular temperature about anywhere from 75 to 85 degrees. And we specialize in comedic yoga. We also practice vinyasa and hatha also, but our specialty is comedic yoga.
Okay, what about certification?
Well, we are currently right now, of course, working with Master Hotep when it comes to the certification in comedic yoga. And Master Hotep's next certification class will be in January. As far as how a person would get registered in that particular certification, and of course what that certification entails, you know, Master Hotep will be the best to give the details on that.
Okay. How can they contact you so they can be certified in the art of comedic yoga?
Well, if anybody wants to contact me, they can simply call 773-396-6613, and I'm in Chicago. They can also go, I have two websites. The first website is yogaskills.com, YOGASKILLS, and the .com, and the other website is kemeticyoga.com, kemeticyoga.com. And so all of the different activities, retreats, teacher training courses that, you know, we have going on are going to be located there. Some of the things we have coming up is, as Jamal said, we're going to start the kinetic yoga teacher training in January back in Yoga House in Houston. We're going to also have a yoga retreat, which is also a 10-day intensive teacher training course in Jamaica in the hot sun. You know, that's going to be January 11th to the 21st. And Jamal and Jill, I think, are going to be there again, which they came they came in February, and that's actually where they met. I think I'm the matchmaker.
Yeah, you are the matchmaker, I understand. And congratulations to Jill and Jamal for you guys are getting married, correct?
Yes, we will be, yes.
Yes.
Hope you
well, congratulations. Okay, now, once again, I want to thank Jill, I want to thank Jamal, and I want to definitely thank Master Yasir Hotep for coming on Honey Soul Radio. We appreciate you. I want to give you peace and blessings and honor of Namaste. Thank you so much. Now, we want to thank everyone for joining us in Honey Soul Radio. You can join us Tuesday, September 11th, for another sweet episode with Lady T and myself. As far as finding us on Facebook at facebook.com, Honey Love Romance, and also facebook.com/ Honey Soul Radio. And you can read Sexy at Honey Love Romance magazine.com. Now remember, make good love and keep your love alive and vibrant by exploring your sensuality. Enjoy passion and experience all six senses with being love. Take the time to cultivate passion and pleasure. Give yourself permission to honor your sensuality. Enjoy Honey Soul. Good night.
Said I went to the mountain. trying to do your thing.